when we're doing all the things that we're doing, you know, sometimes we literally don't take the time to consider much about God and what God might have planned for our lives. Oh, we'll be faithful to get our families up on Sunday morning and take them to Sunday school and church and all of that, but what do we do with Jesus during the week? You know, I've told you about one of the companies that God blessed us with that was a pipe fabrication company. And the foreman, the shop foreman, he learned to read by reading the King James Bible. We would meet every weekday morning at 6 o'clock and we'd have Bible reading and prayer time, and it was quite to our surprise, the two of us that were in the office, when we asked the shop manager to go ahead and read, that he had to confess he didn't know how to read. You know, and I'm thinking, how do you run a whole fabrication facility and you don't know how to read? I mean, you can read blueprints and all that good stuff. He just has a real problem with words. And so we decided this boy's going to learn how to read, and he's going to learn how to read. We taught him how to read phonetically out of the King James Bible. And so he learned to read and to write from God's Word. I think that is such a miracle, such a privilege to be able to do that. But there came a day one time, we got together in the morning at 6 o'clock, time for us to pray and have our little Bible reading, and the guy wasn't there. We called out to his office out in the shop. Hey, we're having Bible study now. And he said something that was so saddened me, because he told us, well, you guys up there in the front office, you don't live in the real world. Out here in the shop, this is the real world, where people have real problems. And Christianity and church doesn't work in the real world. Maybe up in the front office where everything is always going your way. And I'm just saying, oh boy, are you misinformed. Okay. But maybe up there the Bible will work for you. But I can't take time out to come up there anymore, because I'm in the real world. And that so broke my heart, because, hey, I know where the real world is. I've been on the dirty end of a wrench. I have, you know, matter of fact, over half the equipment out there in that shop that he was running, I made with my own two hands. I fabricated that equipment for him. Hey, I know what the world of the pipe fitter is. I know what the world of the mechanic is. I know the world of the electrician and all of that. I have lived that. And I have found my relationship with Jesus Christ to be just as applicable, just as real, and just as important in the life of a tradesman as it would be in the life of somebody in management, all right? And so we go through our lives, and when we're younger and we're trying to raise our kids up, we're taking them to church on Sunday, but, you know, that's 2 hours on Sunday morning. Then the world has them all week long. They're watching television, they're going to school, they're spending time with their friends. And do you think that the 2 hours that we have inflicted upon them by sitting in God's house is going to begin to compare with the dozens and dozens of hours? Let's just say, just for grins, 12 hours a day that they're with their friends, or they're chatting on the phone, or they're on their computer, or they're at school, or whatever. And so 2 hours a day against 60 hours a week. My goodness, you know, that's no comparison at all. And so, you know, we're really, we get to this stage in our life, and as I said last Sunday, it has just so burdened my soul that rarely do you see somebody walking down these halls here that has a look of joy upon their face. Now, joy doesn't mean that everything's going right in your life. That's happiness. Happiness is from the old English word happenstance. And so if everything going on around you is good and happy, well then you can be good and happy, alright? Depends on what's going on in your world. But joy has nothing to do with what's going on around us. It all has to do with the peace that God has given us in our hearts. Amen? And so I just don't see that joy. And I'll say hi to somebody and they'll paste a false smile on their face. And they'll say hi and whatever and go on their way. And it has just so burdened me that people have come through the busy part of their life. I'm not saying the most important part of their life, but they've come through the busy part of their life and they've come to this place and they don't have joy. And it's because all those years, whether you're talking, you know, 20 years together raising a family or 30 years together or whatever, so many times we find our identity as the mom, as the dad, as the caretaker, as the taxi cab driver, as the one who pays the bills. And so our identity, for our children and even for ourselves are the things that we did. All right, and that's why a lot of guys, when they retire, unless they have some plans made about what they're going to do with their time when they retire, a lot of guys are dead in 5 years after retirement. Why? Because they don't have anything to do. What defined them as a man, of somebody of importance, as somebody that made a difference in this world, is behind them. The kids are grown, they're out of college, they're raising their own families or whatever, and it's the same thing, especially with the moms, called the empty nest syndrome, alright? And I think all of you ladies have experienced that, because now everything that made you feel important is gone, alright? And so we have made the first mistake, and you might want to remember this, we have defined ourselves according to our actions. Alright? We have defined ourselves according to our actions. I'm a vice president. I'm a mechanic. I'm an electrician. I'm a mom. I'm a businesswoman. And so the things that we did defined us. You'll notice in God's Word, we're not defined by our actions. We're defined by our relationship to God. We are His children. Oh, yes, and because I'm a child of God, I've got to work, work, work. God says, no, 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 no. You're my child because I have adopted you into my family. Yes, and so I must work, work, work. No, no, no. You are special. You are my child because I have accepted you as my child. Not your actions, not your education, not your bank balance, not any of these things. I have loved you. So I've sent my son to die on the cross for you. Not for your job, not for your, you know, your status in this world, for you. And see, here in the United States, we have a real problem separating ourselves from our definitions, that which we define ourselves with. Terry and I worked for a pastor, Jim Miller, and I would go up and say, Pastor, I need to talk with you. And he would just cringe. You'd see his shoulders rise up. He said, my name is not Pastor. My name is Jim. Pastor is what I do. And he had a real problem being defined by that title. Actually, I think pastor is just the best title that you can, well, next to grandpa, next to dad, next to husband. Okay. I like those titles too. All right. It is a term of trust and endearment. But for Jim, he felt that it was his job that was identifying him, and he didn't want to be known for his job. He wanted to be known as Jim Miller. Okay? And so, I can understand that. But if you want to call me pastor, that's okay. Alright? Because that is the responsibility that God has given me. But it isn't what bases my relationship with God, or what my relationship with God is based on. Amen? So, we get to this point in our life, and all of a sudden, we're kind of set adrift. We're still a mom, and when somebody needs money, we hear from them, and when somebody's graduated from high school, and or somebody's getting married, or somebody, we hear from them. What is it? The registry is at, now you can make your wedding registry at Amazon. So there you go. You can tell the world what kind of gift to get you at Amazon. And it seems like that's the only time that you hear from somebody now. And so we find ourselves at this age in our lives kind of set adrift. Because what is our purpose in this life? And what we need to do is get back to how God sees us and how He has always seen us. The things that you do, your works, your efforts, don't define you to God. The fact that you are in Jesus is what makes you special to God. Now, this is the danger that comes from when we associate ourselves with past actions, in that sometimes the past is good, but other times the past is bad. And when we have these bad memories, these sad memories in our lives, sometimes we allow ourselves to be consumed with these sad memories. And that's why last week we went through it, and I've got part two is out on the bulletin board out in the hallway now, is that even though the Bible does not tell us we should not think about bad memories, we shouldn't entertain bad memories, it's that we should be very careful when we do. Because the bottom line is, and listen to me, you can't change a single one of them. What happened to you as a child cannot be changed, and it won't be changed. What happened to you as a teenager cannot be changed. It won't be changed. What happened to you as a young married person? Nothing can change that. Good or bad, you have no power in that historical event. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us we have very little power about even tomorrow's events. And so a couple of weeks ago I read you that story about the rich man who suddenly came into a great harvest. And he's decided, man, what am I going to do? I'm going to presume upon this harvest. I want to presume that this is how it's going to be like from here on out. I'm going to tear my own barns down, and I'm going to build up new barns, and we'll be able to possess and contain all of this blessing and all that God decides to send me next year and the year after that. And that night, God says to him, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. See, the only thing that we have control over is right now. The only thing that you have control over right now is, am I going to listen to what the pastor is saying, or am I going to work on my meatloaf recipe? Or whatever, you know, else is a distraction. Because right now is the only thing that we have control over. And so what we need to do is to understand that your past memories, your past experiences do not define you. Alright? I am Little Dale. My dad was Big Dale. Alright? When he died, I was bigger. Little Dale was bigger than Big Dale. Okay? I was an inch taller and about 50 pounds heavier. Alright? But all the time I was growing up, in high school, in college, it was whenever we were at a family function, my aunt, uncles, cousins would yell out, either Uncle Dale or, hey, Big Dale, and that wasn't me. I was Little Dale. Even when Little Dale was bigger than Big Dale, I was still Little Dale. But see, that doesn't define me anymore. It probably wasn't all that accurate when I was small, and it definitely isn't that accurate now. And so when you think of things that happened to you, especially, well, actually good things can be more dangerous than bad things. Do you know that? Yeah, good things can be more dangerous than bad things. And you look at people that have won the lottery. And, you know, here they are sitting there with $100 million in the checking account. And a year and a half later, they've even lost their car and their house. At least they had an old pickup truck in the driveway and a house that, you know, they shared ownership with the bank on. But now, after having all that money, that's gone. The house is gone. Got rid of that old pickup truck, bought us a new whatever it was, all right? And it, because money does nothing but reveal your inner character. And so good things that happen to you that you think are good might reveal a hidden inner character that you didn't know about. All right? How many of you have ever said, God, what, you know, if you ever blessed me by winning the lottery or anything like that, I sure could do some things in the church. Anybody ever think that? I'm the only one. Seriously. Okay, everybody's done it? All right, okay, that's what I thought. I didn't think I was the only sinner in this room. Okay, but, you know, hey, God, you know, what was Powerball up to? $1.6 billion or something like that. I mean, it was horrendous. And, you know, and I was saying, you know, God, you know, you and me together on this, we can really do some, you know, but no, it's not going to happen. Why? Because my Father knows best. My Father knows me better than I know me. And it very well might be, even though I would stand up and down, stand here, jump up and down, hold my breath until I turn purple trying to convince God that I wouldn't be like those other people. I don't know until somebody stroked me a check for $1.2 billion and put it in my checking account. And then even with the best intentions, money changes people. All right? And so don't think that, you know, every good thing that happened actually is going to bring good results, because it may infect you for the rest of your life. And so, but let's talk about the bad things. Let's talk about the bad things. The devil has a very simple job description. Steal, kill, destroy. Okay, that's his job. Very simple. He's been honing those job skills for millennia. And he's been very successful at it. I have one responsibility. Serve God. That's what the Bible says. That's what Solomon said. It's one thing I've learned, you know, to serve God. And so when you bring it down to these two absolutes, the devil, of course, but see, if he can't take your salvation away, what is he going to do? He's going to remind you of what happened in childhood. He's going to remind you of, and I don't know anybody's marital situation here other than my beautiful bride. He might remind you of a failed marriage. He might remind you of the child who became the black sheep of the family or whatever and is now sitting in prison somewhere. I don't know. But you see, that's all that the devil can do. That's his job. He kills, he steals, and it destroys. And if he can steal your peace, if he can destroy your family, your home, the peace in your home by bringing up these things, then he will do it. And so if that's part of his attack against us, why would we accommodate him? Well, that's just how I am. That's the way I grew up, and that's what I had to put up with, and just, yeah, that's what the devil is telling you. And so, what I have found, I'll give you this little story, and then I'm going to shut up. Praise God. There was a time in Terry's life, we were dealing with acute pain. And she was lying in the bed, and I think it was her right leg. And she is screaming out in pain. My leg hurts. My leg hurts. And, you know, so I do all of the worldly things. Take pain pill. Do this. Let me rub your leg. Whatever, you know. And finally, duh, let's pray. Duh. I'm glad that you only have, you know, 2 advanced degrees in theology. And it finally comes to you. Why don't we pray about this? That's a good idea. And so we started to pray. Do you remember that night? Oh, it was on your left? Okay. So we're praying, and the pain went away, but it went to her other leg. And as soon as that happened, I said, oh, somebody's playing games. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and went back to the other leg. And I said, this is the devil. Okay? And so now I have to change tactics. And I say, devil, this body, Terry Sue, belongs to Jesus. And you are trespassing on God's property. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I command you to take whichever devil you got that's harassing Terry right now to leave this plate. As a matter of fact, it's another lesson to teach you. I consign him to the pit, where no devil wants to go because he can't get out of the pit, and don't bother Terry again. And what happened? The pain went away. Okay? I wish I could tell you that was the last time that Terry had to deal with pain in her body, but for that one instance, we were able to see that this is what was really going on. And so it's important for us not to be so consumed with these thoughts that we're not able to see what is really happening. And so when I saw what was happening with Terry, I changed tactics and the devil had to leave. And Terry was set free from pain. So that when the devil is coming to you and reminding you of these failures, you need to understand who's whispering in your ear. It's not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit. That's the devil reminding you of these past hurts, trying to get you caught up in those hurts so that your peace is gone. And so what Terry and I do is we start praising God. Because the devil's intention is to get us distracted and start cursing God. Well, God, if you really love me, if you really are the God of the Bible, then why are you letting this happen in Terry's life? Why are you letting it happen in my life? Okay? And that's who's winning there? We're definitely not endearing ourselves to Father God with an attitude like that, aren't we? But when the devil comes along and we start praising Jesus' name, okay, what are we doing? What man is meant for evil, what the devil has meant for evil, God is going to turn around and use it for his good. And so we go ahead and refocus. We go ahead and refocus. Now I'm not going to focus on this memory anymore. I'm going to thank God that God has put me here in a church full of people that love me. God has put me in a place where, yeah, I mean, we do have some persnickety people that we have to deal with here, all right? But this is a neat place to live. This is a nice place to live. I've never once come out on this property and been ashamed of something that was going on, trash piled up in the corner or something like that. This is a nice, neat, presentable place to live. And so we can go ahead and allow ourselves to be distracted by things that have happened in the past, or we can use that attempt by Satan to say, but you know what? Here I am now. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put my bathing suit on because there is a humongous pool sitting out there calling my name. Come in, dip your foot in the water, and be refreshed. All right? If we allow the Holy Spirit to repurpose our thoughts, not to dwell on the old things, but to say, that's the old me. And I've been set free from all of that. As a matter of fact, I've asked forgiveness from God so many times, He doesn't remember it anymore. Right? As far as the east is from the west, I will forget, never to remember your sins again as far as the east is from the west. Amen? And I told you the story about that. If you go north, pretty soon, you're going north again. So as far as the north is from the south, no, that's a defined distance. 13,000 miles, as a matter of fact, is that defined distance, all right? Well, it's actually this way. It's not quite. But if you start going east, when do you stop going east? When do I reach west? You don't. You're still going east. And so God didn't say, I'm going to remove your sins from you as far as the north is from the south. Could be, if He were an ignorant God talking to ignorant people, but He's a God who knows everything, knows that the world isn't flat, it's a sphere, and that you start going that way on the equator, you're going to keep going that way, and you're never going to arrive, if you're going east, you're never going to arrive at the west. Amen. And that's how far He's removed our sins from us. You're not that person anymore. You're not that guy anymore. You're not that lady anymore. You're not that child anymore. You're not that young married lady that is, you know, just all fairy tale eyed about all the beautiful things of the world, and all of a sudden you wake up to reality. You're not that person anymore. Why? Because you are here. All that stuff God has used to bring you to this place. And so when you start finding yourself entertaining sad memories, and see, when that happens, you are claiming victimhood. I hate the word victimhood, because you know what happens if you're a victim? You're not responsible. Okay, I'm sorry, I'd like to do this or that, but something happened to me 15 years ago and I just can't get over it. I'm still a victim of it, so I can't be responsible for it. Yeah, victimhood means that you're not responsible for anything. But the Word of God says that, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. All right, and I'm going to take this memory of death, but now I am going to use it to speak life into my situation. As a matter of fact, I want to go visit a girlfriend right now. Not me as a man, but you as a lady saying, okay, I'm going to go visit one of my girlfriends here at the Grand, and we're going to sit down and maybe have some iced tea or something, or if one of you drives, let's go down here to the Euro Shack or whatever that place is down on Psalm or Franz Road and Mason Road. What is that place's name? Gyro. It's pronounced Hero, but yeah, Gyro. And I'm going to, he's a good Christian guy. He's Eastern Orthodox. Huh? Yeah, he's a really neat guy. First time we met, he says, oh, Pastor, you got to bless my business. And yeah, that's the first thing he wanted out of me was a blessing. Praise God, I'll do that. And so you can say, let's go down here and have a Euro or, a hot dog or whatever. They got a bunch of good stuff that we probably shouldn't be eating, but we do anyhow. All right? And that way, what are you doing? You're taking a motivation of a bad memory and you're making a happy memory out of it. I had a good time with my friend, and we talked about good things, and tomorrow we're going to invite somebody else, and we're going to get together, and we're going to talk about more good things. Don't let the devil use those sad memories to poison your relationships. And I've seen it so many times. I've talked to so many people. They can't get over the bad. But Jesus has already set them free from the bad. Amen? And yet, if we're not careful, we'll let that fester and infect, and it can destroy things. Amen? And I can't tell you the times I've counseled with people, maybe a lady that had a bad marriage, and now she's getting married again, and she's bringing the hurts from that first marriage into the second marriage, and her new husband saying, I just can't win. I mean, every time we, she is hurt by this, or she's offended, and it's all, it's because of hurts and offenses from another marriage. But she's allowing it to ruin this marriage. Okay? Can't do that. That's when harboring memories of bad events becomes self-destructive. You can't get anything good from it. So why do it? Amen? And so, I would just remind you, every one of us, who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Okay? And the Bible says that old things are passed away. They're gone. Behold, all things are becoming new. Something new every day with Jesus. Amen? Let's let those old things lie there in the past. And when they do come to mind, we immediately refocus. No, that's not good for me. I have done this to myself. I've put on the little blood pressure cuff, taken my blood pressure, and I've thought about a sad event. Hit my blood pressure again. Guess what happened? My blood pressure's up. Your brain can do that to you. When you think about a bad memory, it has a physiological effect on your body. It's releasing bad hormones. It's doing bad things to your body. Why would you do that to yourself? Amen? And so, let's learn to refocus, take control of our minds. That's the hardest place. The battle is won, or the battle is lost. Right here. Amen? That's where all battles are won and lost, in the mind. The army whose leaders say, we will do this, they do. All right? Those that come in and say, well, I don't know if we can or not, let's give it a try, they usually find themselves on the receiving end of things. Okay? And so, let's make the choice. I am not going to entertain those thoughts. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use that as a motivation. I'm going to put down what I'm doing right now, and if it's not the middle of the night, I'm going to call my friend, or I'm going to walk down to my friend's apartment, and I'm going to knock on the door, and I'm going to say, let's do something fun. Let's go for a walk. Let's go shopping. Let's sit down and have a shake somewhere, you know, milkshakes. But repurpose those thoughts. Be in control of your mind. Amen? My flight instructor was Lieutenant Colonel Claire McCombs, squadron commander of the Firebirds, and flew the F-4 Phantom through the F-5 Freedom Fighter in Vietnam, flew the U-2, he also worked for the CIA, so he was flying spy planes during Vietnam. Neat guy. None of us knew anything about him like that until after his death. But he used to irritate the living fire out of me, because I'd be flying along in this little Cessna 172 or whatever, and he's yelling at me, "Climby, fly the airplane! Don't let the airplane fly you! Fly the airplane! Don't let the airplane fly you!" Control your mind. Don't let your mind control you. You take control. You take control. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Father God, thank you so much for your love.